Hello, this is Duncan Newcomer. Welcome to Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Here's a quote for you. Abraham Lincoln was a quiet man. Abe Lincoln was a quiet and a melancholy man. Sound familiar? It could. Those are words from the text that go along with Aaron Copland's famous orchestral piece, Fanfare for the Common Man. On the long playing vinyl record I had as a kid, the reader of those words and the moving description of other aspects and quotes of Lincoln was Adlai Stevenson. Even then, Stevenson had run for president against Dwight Eisenhower. He was a great liberal, important politician from Lincoln's home state of Illinois. As a teenager, I was enthralled with the Copland music and the picturesque words about Lincoln and by Lincoln. But a quiet man? A quiet and a melancholy man? What's, as we might say now, what's up with that? Well, it was about his spirit. Lincoln had a quiet spirit. It's one reason I entitled the show Quiet Fire. We talked about fire last time. A quiet spirit is greatly to be desired. We feel it in spiritual people. When Pope Francis spoke to Congress recently, you could feel his quiet spirit as well as his penetrating words. When we are quiet, it isn't that nothing is going on. It's that everything else is going on. Feelings and thoughts and creativity. Our bodies are present, and so is the rest of the world present to us. Lincoln was ambitious, but he was not self-centered. And so he was open to the world around him, very open, to people, to nature, ideas, and I would say even spirit. And so he was quiet in order to be open. Ernest Hemingway, I read recently, once wrote, "The dignity of movement of an iceberg is due to only 1/8 of it being above water." Lincoln was like that. 7/8 of Lincoln was held out of view, inside him, in his spacious heart, his brilliant mind, and his big spirit. When you think of the Lincoln Memorial, which is one of the quietest places in Washington except for the intermittent overheaded jets, think of it this way. There are 38,000 tons of marble, 76 million pounds, that make up the marble and the granite and the limestone from all around Georgia, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Indiana, Colorado. People linger at the Lincoln Memorial. They walk back in. Where else in Washington do people seek and find such solitude, peace, and quiet? But as Michelangelo said, every block of stone has a statue inside of it. And it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. That's why I say, so think of the Lincoln Memorial this way. America is a pretty big stone with all our noise and all our history. But it gets cut away and away and away until we get down to this white marble cube with a seated man inside, Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln, in many ways, is the essence of America. He was the essential president. And he may be an icon of the silence we most need, a contemplative spirit. Lincoln was very familiar with silence. He seemed to seek it. As a country lawyer, for 6 months a year, 3 months in the spring and three in the fall, for decades, he rode on his horse or in a horse and buggy, and finally by train, the 8th Judicial Circuit of Illinois, a jurisdiction the size of Connecticut. He would either read or simply contemplate for hours. By the end of his life, he seems to have less and less to say. The Gettysburg Address is famously under 300 words. His second inaugural, 701 words. It is one-fourth as long as his first inaugural. He opens his second inaugural saying almost apologetically, "There is less occasion for an extended address than there was at the first." It is, as the scholar John Burt points out, as if Lincoln knows that there is something inauthentic about big public addresses, especially when the nation has just suffered 600,000 or more casualties in the Civil War. Silence follows tragedy. So he closes with a few spare words, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, and to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Within 6 weeks, his voice would never be heard again. And as the poet says, a great gasp of sorrow rushed across the land as the news of his assassination traveled. A sorrow and a silence he was never far from. Abraham Lincoln was a spiritual man, and his spirit continues to teach and to inspire us. His quiet can continue to steady and to calm us down to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.